I'm recording now. Y'all missed Abigail's ASMR.
For my sparkling water. Nothing that interesting, but it did sound nice when I did it.
So. It was. It sounded like the beginning of Pop a Top again. It's a niche Alan Jackson joke.
Excellent.
Okay, so full disclosure, we are recording this in the past. Obviously, we always record this in the past, but we're more in the past than we were because Abigail got married this past weekend slash is getting married as we're recording this. So we are busy.
We are very busy. we're very excited. I'm very excited. Austin and I are both very excited. Everything's great.
And everything went really well.
Everything went perfectly. It was sunny and warm, but not too warm.
It did not rain. We did not sweat through. I did not sweat through a satin dress.
I did not trip on my dress. Everything went perfectly. We're speaking it into existence. And exactly. Since this comes out after the wedding, it has to have come true.
Exactly. And we will address how the wedding actually went the next time we are recording this on a reasonable schedule.
Yes.
So thank you for letting us front load these episodes.
For our own sanity.
Yeah.
But more important than me, we have a new Abby Jimenez book.
Truly, this was such a journey.
It really was. She really does just keep getting better and better.
Honestly.
I'm getting upset almost.
Because they're all so good.
They're all so good. But I also have realized, and I'll kind of talk about it toward the end, of like, I just want to see her do something slightly different, I think. Because now, I'll talk about it at the end. I loved this one, though. Mm-hmm. I love this one. This is the first book in a long time I've read in 24 hours.
So this book came out April 2nd. So she's fresh. Brand new.
She's fresh.
It's called Just for the Summer, if we haven't already said that. And here's the description, and sorry for my gravelly voice, it's allergies again around here. Justin has a curse, and thanks to a Reddit thread, it's now all over the internet. Every woman he dates goes on to find their soulmate the second they break up. When a woman slides into his DMs with the same problem, they come up with a plan. They'll date each other and break up. Their curses will cancel each other out, and they'll both go on to find the love of their lives. It's a bonkers idea, and it just might work. Emma hadn't planned that her next assignment as a traveling nurse would be in Minnesota, but she and her best friend agree that dating Justin is too good of an opportunity to pass up, especially when they get to rent an adorable cottage on a private island on Lake Minnetonka. It's supposed to be a quick fling just for the summer, but when Emma's toxic mother shows up and Justin has to assume guardianship of his three siblings, they're suddenly navigating a lot more than they expected, including catching real feelings for each other. What if this time fate, with a capital F, fate has actually brought the perfect pair together. You know what? We haven't read this blurb on the podcast because I was surprised when it started with Reddit.
Yes. I think I like somehow maybe in a past life read the blurb and then promptly forgot.
Same.
So
I'm sure at some point I read it, but then when I opened the book and the first thing was a Reddit Am I the Asshole post, I was like, oh, this is so my shit.
I texted Katie and I was like, this is when I get to talk about my lore as a Reddit lurker for like a decade.
Same, yeah.
I love
a giant Reddit user.
Yeah, I love Am I the Asshole? Yep. I would just like, what was it? Oh, Ask Reddit is what I would like lurk on to fall asleep in college all the time. Is I would just go read Ask Reddit posts.
Yeah.
And it was sometimes good, sometimes not.
Yeah, it's perhaps not the best place for us to spend our time, but it is where I do spend my time.
You know, the nice thing about Reddit is like when you have an account, it's like you can curate it.
Exactly.
I don't have to look at the garbage that's on there. I can lurk on handbags subreddit and eye bleach and whatever.
Right. Exactly. It is pretty much the only social media that you can truly customize to be what you want it to be, which I really like.
Yeah. Mine is maybe 60% pop culture gossip subreddits, mm-hmm. handbags, Am I the Asshole, relationship advice. Anything that's drama, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, mine's probably like 50% drama. Like, I love the Bad Roommates subreddit.
Oh my God, Yeah.
Bad Roommates is really good. Insane Parents is also really good.
Just no mother-in-law.
Yeah, Insane People Facebook is good.
I love Insane People Facebook.
So it's probably 50% that kind of nonsense, and then 50% my very niche interests, like random video games, podcasts, yes. And yeah, like pop culture bullshit.
Yep.
I love it. It's a great place to be. Okay, so as we've discussed, the book starts off with a Reddit "Am I the asshole?" post.
And Justin is asking if he is the asshole because he named his ugly dog after his best friend who screwed him over. And you know what? Not the asshole.
Definitely not. I did, for the first time ever, leave a note in our buddy read that was about the content warning of this book.
Yes, we should address the content. Perhaps maybe we should have done that before we talk about dogs and Reddit.
Yeah. This book's heavy as fuck.
This book is extremely heavy.
So if you have perhaps complicated relationships with your parents and, you know, family-related trauma, you might want to check the content warnings for this book if you have not read it yet. And also, maybe don't listen anymore. And this, I saw Toxic Mother in the content warning, but holy shit, Toxic Mother.
Holy shit,
wow.
Toxic Mother. Yep.
Wow. So yeah, it's something to consider. Anyway, back to the dog.
Back to Brad.
The dog named Brad.
Brad the dog, which is an excellent dog name, by the way.
Abby, excellent dog character writer.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
She writes great dogs.
Excellent. Winner of best dog of the year already for Brad, probably. So Brad is named after Justin's like best friend who is now dating the girl that Justin was dating briefly. And then now they're together and Brad has moved out of their apartment so he can move in with Faith, Justin's ex-girlfriend. They had a very amicable breakup, was not dramatic. Faith fell in love with Brad.
And Brad and Justin are still best friends. There is no real legitimate animosity here.
That is the funniest part of this whole thing. Is right. Like, there's no real anger. He's just like, I'm fucking naming this ugly ass dog after my best friend who screwed me out of rent.
Well, and at first when you read the Reddit post, you're kind of like, ooh, they had like a falling out or whatever. And yeah. You realize they didn't. And then it makes it so much funnier.
And then like 20 pages later, you like meet Brad and Brad's right. Like, change your dog's name. And he's like, nope.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Very funny.
It's so funny. So Justin has like a good luck Chuck thing going on, which this is not the first book that I've read with a good luck Chuck theme.
Who knew that Good Luck Chuck still holds strong on pop culture?
You know. So yeah, Justin has this going on. And then our female lead, Emma, who, as mentioned in the blurb, is a traveling nurse. And what location are they in when?
Colorado.
They're in Colorado in the beginning. So her and her best friend, they're travel nurses. They rotate choosing where they're going to go spend their like brief stints that are like 6 weeks, 2 months, very short periods of time.
Yeah, I think they say like 3 month periods.
Yeah.
So not very long.
Yeah.
And while they're like on break, they're reading this Am I the Asshole post from Justin, and Maddie's like, oh my gosh, you have to message him because Emma has a similar thing.
Right. She's like, I too, like, men fall in love with whoever they date after me.
Yeah. Which does not end up being a major plot point of the book. It was really only truly the very beginning.
It's just the vehicle that brings them together.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
So Emma messages him, and one of the most unrealistic things about this book is how fast people message back.
Yes.
Like, he's just...
On Reddit? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, on Instagram or something? Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
On Reddit?
He messages back instantly.
Yeah.
And they start talking... And that's it. They like spark a friendship this way, and they're talking and they're just like texting, and eventually. So he lives in Minneapolis.
Hang on. Before we get there, the thing that really made me be like, damn, I missed Abby, was when they just find out who he is within like 30 seconds.
Oh, yes.
Of him responding.
Yes.
Because he sends a photo of himself, and he's really hot, obviously. So they reverse image search, find his Instagram, find out everything about him before like Emma has even responded to the photo that he sent.
Oh yeah, it takes them like 3 minutes, which Yes, accurate.
Yes, exactly. And then there's a line in the book that's like, the FBI should hire more women. And that's the part that I was like,
missed her so much.
I missed her. Yep.
Correct, also. You're also right. Maddie, you can make it as a journalist also.
For real. I just love stuff like this that is like very silly little stuff, but is actually like, and seems very over the top, but like, we do this shit all the time.
It's very true to life.
Yes, exactly. It's very true to life. And it could have come off as really like cheesy or weird, but not in Abby Jimenez's worlds.
No. Absolutely not.
Anyway, okay, now we can move on with, I just really had to talk about that.
Well, so we know.
Sorry, one more thing. I'm looking at my notes. And when they're searching him, they discover that he's got a bed frame.
Yes, he has a bed frame.
And that's a whole little exchange that they have.
They are correct. Dear listeners, if your significant other does not have a bed frame, Please help them. I would like to say, Austin did not have a bed frame when I started dating him. He was sleeping on a pullout couch and purchased a bed not long after we got together, thank God.
Ryan did have a bed frame, which actually I like remember being telling, like, you because you weren't around yet, yeah, but telling the girls about, because he also had a comforter. What he didn't have is hand towels.
Austin didn't have hand towels either.
They never have hand towels.
Oh my God. And the funniest thing too is I was like, when I went over to his place the first time and I was like, oh, hey, do you have a hand towel? And he was like, they're in the wash. And then like 2 weeks later, I was like, you don't have hand towels. And he's like, no.
At least he lied.
He lied. Wait, but what color were Ryan's sheets?
I don't remember.
Were they navy?
I think they were gray. Oh, they weren't navy.
Okay. All right. Plus one for Ryan.
No. They were satin.
What?
Yeah. Which, like, great for your skin, great for your face. Not great to sleep in a bed with two people because we both just ended up in the center.
Yeah, just slipping and sliding.
I think they were, like, maroonish red, if I'm remembering correctly.
That is fascinating.
And he had a gold comforter.
Wow.
I remember our friend Taylor Goldenstein, when I was texting or slacking the girls that, like, I had gone over to his house or whatever, and I said that he has, like, satin sheets and this gold comforter. She goes, what is he, an Egyptian prince?
And look at him now.
And look at him now.
Look at you both now.
I know. I married the Egyptian prince. Anyway.
That's fucking hilarious.
Okay, sorry. Now we can actually
move on with the plot of the book.
Yeah.
So we have established Justin and Emma are both real people to each other.
Yes.
So they, like, spark up a nice little online friendship. And that's kind of like the first, I don't know, like, bit of the book. It's not very long.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to, Maddie and Emma are supposed to go to Hawaii next, which obviously they're very excited about because it's Hawaii.
Right.
And that was Maddie's pick. They switch off between who gets to pick where they're going next. And Justin is kind of like, not like half-heartedly convincing her, but being like, ooh, you should come to Minneapolis. And they have like a 3-hour FaceTime while he's walking and he's just like showing her Minneapolis. And it's really cute.
At what point, is it before or after the FaceTime that they've decided to fake date? I think it's before.
I think it is before.
Because he's like, if next time it's your turn to pick,
you should pick
Minneapolis.
Yes.
Then we can do this fake dating thing and see if we can break each other's curse.
Yeah, it's kind of not even like fake dating.
It's like real dating.
Yeah, it's like Brad or Benny. We get Benny in this book.
I know.
Yeah.
A wild Benny appears,
who's one of Justin's good friends. Along with Brad the human, not Brad the dog.
Brad the dog is also presumably one of Justin's good friends.
Yes, presumably. Presumably his best friend.
Presumably.
But one of his friends is like, you guys should date each other. I bet it would cancel out. And he's like, you know what? Also, she's really hot.
Yeah.
So
they talk about that. And then they just kind of leave it there in the background of like, eventually when Emma gets to Minnesota, they'll do this.
Yeah.
And then they have this long FaceTime and Emma goes to Maddie and is basically like,
So
how mad would you be
if instead we went to Minnesota?
Yeah, so it's very, Maddie is a wonderful supportive friend and is like, what the fuck? Fine.
Yes. Maddie is the strongest character in this book.
She's excellent. And I was like really hoping, and we'll get to this later, I was really hoping that Abby was setting us up for Maddie being another book, but that's not what happens. But what happens is so good.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah. So they decide to surprise Justin. Before this, we learn that Justin has some heavy shit that he's dealing with also.
Yes. So we've learned a little bit about Emma's backstory, which is that she and Maddie, Maddie is her foster sister, and Maddie's mom's tried to adopt Emma officially, and Emma was severely neglected as a child and always just was kind of waiting for her mom to come back. And so we're going to get into some heavy shit with that. But yeah, that's the premise.
That's the premise. And then we learn from Justin's perspective that his mom is going to prison.
Prison.
Prison. And later on, we learn it's like for like financial crimes, but we don't know that now. And he is essentially having to adopt, not really legally adopt, but he's the primary caregiver for his three younger siblings, one of whom is very young.
Yes. Yes. Chelsea is 4. Sarah is 12. Mm-hmm. And then Alex is 16.
Yeah, 16.
15, 16.
Yeah, teenager.
So
pretty teenager.
Pretty good range of ages here.
Emma doesn't know any of this, nor does Justin know Emma's situation.
Right. So Emma shows up. And
that's very cute.
It is so cute. How do they do it again? Oh, she just calls it.
Yeah,
yes,
because
oh my gosh, we haven't talked about Toilet King.
Insane billboard. This is kind of what creates the whole situation with him and Human Brad, because him and Human Brad were roommates, and Human Brad moving out leaves Justin with a apartment that has a horrible view of a billboard for someone who is, I guess, a plumber or maybe sells toilets. Regardless, his business is that he is the Toilet King. And so there's a big billboard with a toilet on it and apparently some poops in it.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Giant outside of Justin's window. And so that's why Brad the dog.
He's named after Brad the human.
So anyway, when Emma decides to show up in Minnesota and surprise Justin, she sends him a photo of it?
She sends him a photo where she's sitting on the bench.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yes.
And he's like, what the fuck?
He's like, oh my God, when can I see you?
Maddie and Emma are staying on an island on the lake.
I was like, girl, you did not think this one through.
Yeah. The only way they can get to and from the island is via a little boat that they have to drive themselves. So there's this bajillionaire that lives in this mansion and then owns a house on this island and rents it out to them.
So they get kind of settled. They are like, this is, you know, we're going to make this work. The water smells like rust. Otherwise, I mean, the boat is shitty, but otherwise they're kind of just like, oh, we're in Minneapolis. All right.
I would like to highlight a handful of my notes so far in this book.
Great.
One of them is at one point they describe masturbating as DJing my own party, which is hilarious.
Excellent.
And at another point, Justin references the value of a Starbucks and a Target.
Oh, yes. That is a man written by a woman.
This is literally what I wrote down.
That is a man written by a woman who is correct.
And then there's another quote about public proposals are hostage situations, which is funny because we both got proposed to. Well, you were semi in public.
Yeah. Mine was quietly public.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yours was not.
Yeah, it was pretty public.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was on the beach.
Well, yeah, but I just didn't realize there were people around.
Yeah.
Oh.
A surprising amount of people for it being December.
I know. I guess I just always assumed it was just you guys.
Yeah. No, there were other people. Not like a ton.
Yeah.
I also wrote down that our first Nadia Cakes reference was at 15%.
Yeah, we need to start clocking those.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, we need to just like fucking order some Nadia Cakes. Also, I did look up how much they cost, though. It's like $100 to get a box of them here. Because we live in Texas.
Is that worth it?
Maybe. It might be. Who would like to start a a crowdfund for us to get some Nadia cakes.
Might be worth it. Should we start a Patreon just to get Nadia cakes?
Maybe so.
Okay. So yeah, they're staying on an island.
Maddie has convinced Emma to take a DNA test because she does know who her father is. Amber, her toxic, chaotic, awful mother, has just said it was like a married man.
Yeah.
And that she may or may not know his... I don't know, whatever.
Didn't ever really say if it seemed like her mom actually knew his identity or not.
Right.
So, more it was just like, he's a married man. He didn't want anything to do with me.
Yeah. So Emma relents and she's like, okay, I'll take it. So, you know, she does the whole thing and they put it in the mail the next day.
Oh, and at this point, my theory was that whoever owned the mansion was secretly Emma's dad.
Ooh.
I thought that's where we were going.
Interesting. Crazy.
Because at this point, we hadn't met the mansion owner yet. We had just heard of him.
Yes. Oh, that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
What it actually does happen is more interesting to me.
Yes.
Okay. So after she takes the DNA test, Justin sends her pre-date questionnaires, which is
excellent. Lovely.
And they're very funny.
And an Evite for their first date.
So the rules of their fake/real dating thing is they have to go on 4 dates. They have to kiss open mouth at least once.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. They determined, they like had a conversation about like, what are all the things that normally happen to you that leads to like your person meeting someone else.
Yeah. So those are the parameters. So she fills out the questionnaire and she picks that she wants a lunchtime date, a casual date, yada, yada. So Justin comes to pick her up the next day and takes her to go pet kittens.
Yeah. Like a room full of kittens.
Yes. Which is
at Benny's girlfriend's apartment. Or yes. Benny's also apartment house. Yeah. I don't know.
Their residence. And yeah. It's Brianna's sister from yours truly.
Yeah.
Jane.
Yeah.
So they got together.
Yeah.
And she has a bunch of kittens.
Yeah.
So they got
a room full of kittens.
A room full of kittens.
And they're just climbing all over them. And I'm like, this is perfect.
This is an excellent date.
I would be sneezing a lot, but it's really nice.
Yeah, worth it. This is also when we learn that one of the most traumatic things in Emma's life is when her mom left her for weeks.
Yeah.
One summer.
Yeah, we find out that it wasn't just like, my mom wasn't around that much. It was like, my mom abandoned me.
Yeah, in a house with $20.
And no food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Emma mentions she like was so hungry she stole carrots out of her neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
And she just kind of like drops this knowledge very like matter-of-factly, and Justin is rightfully like, Emma, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Emma has like a real, she's still throughout most of this book, she's still seeing her mom through rose-colored glasses. She still wants to think that her mom will be better.
Yes.
Which is really hard to read.
Yes.
And Maddie is like, bro, I love you, but like, what the fuck?
Your mom,
yeah,
bad person.
Yeah. Yeah, and at this point, Emma's mom has called her and was going to mail her her childhood, like her stuffed animal. And
the mailing address for their cottage is the mansion.
Is the mansion.
So Justin and Emma have a nice little lunch date after, too. Mm-hmm. They talk a little bit more, and then they go back to the mansion so he can like drop her off, and look who's there.
Yeah. Instead of mailing the stuffed animal, Emma's mom just fucking showed up with it and all her shit.
Yes. Maddie is correct when she says this woman saw where you were quote unquote living and is here to take advantage of you.
Yep.
And so while
went on that Zillow listing and was like,
look at that fancy house.
Yep.
And so while Emma was on her kitten date with Justin, Amber, her mother, had shown up and met the owner of the mansion, who is...
Did you put this together?
No, I'm a moron.
So am I. I felt so stupid.
It is Neil from Part of Your World, Alexa's terrible ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Which
even when we found out the Neil in this book was a surgeon, I was just like,
I was just like, oh, another guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Cause, okay. To be fair though, we read Part of Your World, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Like, are we supposed to remember every man's name?
Look, you're right.
But what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Yeah, but we don't know that yet in this book. I mean, yeah. Presumably smarter readers than us know it.
People who had better memories for names.
But no one in the book knows of any connection of Neil's outside of the right. fact that he works at this fancy hospital.
Yes, the same hospital that Maddie and... Well, actually, we don't even know that at this point. We've just met him as this is the rich man right. that lives in this house.
And then we later, like, it's like the next day they go to work and he's there or something.
Yes, because yeah. the next day is their first official day at work. Yeah. And they're like, he's like, ooh, good to see you again. So,
and apparently this man, Neil, is always in a bad mood, but Amber is, you know, showing him how to love again or whatever the fuck. And so he's in a great mood now.
Yes, so... Amber and Neil and invite Maddie, Emma, and Justin to, like, you know, hang out and eat lobster. And Maddie's like, fuck this. Absolutely the fuck not.
Yep.
And
Justin's like, I'll stay.
Yes. So this
is. Bless him.
This is one of the parts of the book where I was just like, Abby Jimenez is so good at moving plot forward.
Yeah.
Like, it never, I think, feels like too much is happening. It's just, like, always moving. Right. There is not just, like, a. Oh, they just go on a date and hang out. There right. is always...
Something is happening.
Something is happening. They're going on a date. Oh, he doesn't want the date to end? Great. We're not going to let the date end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it all has, like, meaning beyond the date's just not going to end. Like,
yeah.
This, like, if she just didn't want the date to end, like, you know, Emma could have invited Justin over to the island or whatever. Like, that would be the lazy way to do it.
Yeah.
But the way that she does it is so much better because we get to meet her mom. We get to meet Emma's mom.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see, like, Justin deal with this, like, really awkward situation. And, like, yeah, just builds, like, emotional depth beyond just the romantic relationship.
Right, exactly. So Justin does get to kind of see Amber at work. At one point, they go get Amber's luggage off of the fucking yacht.
Yep.
That Neil had taken her on or whatever. And they have a nice, quiet moment where Emma says something to Justin of like, I wish I knew that when somebody was telling something to me, I always knew it was the truth. Fucking hit me like a train. But that's when Justin and Emma kind of make this pact to each other to always tell each other what they're thinking if they ask.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, that's going to go well.
Yes.
This always ends well in these books.
However, the way Abby writes it, I think is very cute and also committing to the bit.
Yes.
Where Justin kind of word vomits about how he's nervous, he's worried he smells, a few other things, how he's not quite sure how he likes Amber, but Emma likes Amber, so he doesn't want to be a dick, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It's really very cute.
It's very nice. It is a very good relationship building moment of... Emma taking what I like to call an introvert moment almost of like,
oh yeah,
I call, like, I say that about myself. It's like when I'm getting really overwhelmed around like people I'm not super comfortable with or mm-hmm. just like I just have to go like retreat for a few minutes with somebody I am comfortable with or just like, you know, by myself and right. then reemerge into the world of just like take a breath.
And this was the first, like, kind of, like, sexy part of the book, too, because she's, like, wearing a bathing suit, and he's also, like, I'm thinking of, like, how you look not with that on.
Not with that bathing suit. That date kind of ends. Emma is, like, really, this is heartbreaking. Emma's really excited her mom is there, and her mom sucks.
Yeah, and her mom, or Emma starts to see, you know, over the next however many days or whatever, we see... Emma's mom, Amber, and Neil kind of fall into this, like, whirlwind relationship. And Emma starts to feel hope of, like, maybe this is the one that'll stick. Maybe she's finally, like, settled down and this is, like, gonna work out or whatever, which is not what happens.
No. So a little while later, they have a couple... like mini dates. Basically, they're just like building their relationship.
Well, we learn about Justin's mom embezzling money after his dad died.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn that's why she's going to prison.
And she's going to prison in like days.
Yeah. For like 6 years?
Yeah, six years.
So this is like a huge deal in Justin's household. And Justin's moving out of Toilet King apartment and into his childhood home. Justin and Emma go on a, like, they go, like, to an antique store or something, during the middle of which they get a call from Justin's mom and Justin's mom's best friend.
Oh, my God.
That's who is right. also Brad's mom.
Yes.
And they're fucking wasted.
Yes.
Because it's the night before Justin's mom is going to prison.
That's right. This is like their second official date.
Yeah. And so they go pick up Justin's mom and her best friend. And I thought this was going to end up being really messy, but instead it's just really funny.
I know. I was like getting nervous. And then yeah. instead it just ended up being really silly. They're like.
And sad, but like mostly silly.
Mostly silly. So they had gotten themselves banned from Lyft and Uber because they had drunkenly rescued some baby raccoons and they literally have them in the car, which we don't find out until Justin is like halfway home.
Yeah.
And they're telling him the story. And
it's
he's very funny. Wait, what?
And they pass Emma one. And instead of Emma being like, what the fuck? She's like, aww.
Oh, I mean,
takes the raccoon.
Wouldn't you? I guess.
No.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know how I would react to a wild animal being handed to me.
Well, all right.
A wild animal that probably has diseases.
You know. Sure. Okay. Whatever. Anyway. And this is the night before Justin's mom is leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's very funny. But then obviously they get kind of like drunk and sad. But it's like a bonding moment for Justin and Emma because Justin's like, oh, it's really nice how she's like taking this in stride or whatever.
Yeah. And it's also kind of an – Justin is understandably extremely angry.
Yeah.
And it's kind of not like an olive branch between him and his mom, but it is like – a nice moment.
Yeah, a little healing moment.
Yeah.
Then
the next morning she leaves.
She leaves.
Justin's life is now kind of chaos.
So Justin and Emma have a hard time getting together, A, because of Emma's work schedule, but B, because Justin is now a dad of three, essentially. Yeah. They do manage to find time together going to the Mall of America.
Yes, so Brad and Benny are truly the MVPs of this novel, and they put them up at fucking Great Wolf Lodge.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to redo the primary bedroom for you.
And like retile the bathroom or something like that. Yeah.
Some kind of home remodeling. I don't know. Things that need to be done.
Yeah.
And yeah, fucking put them up at Great Wolf Lodge. I had my 12th birthday at Great Wolf Lodge because there's one in North Texas.
Wow.
You know what? It rocked. It was really fun.
I believe it.
I don't really like indoor pools or indoor water parks, but it was awesome.
I believe it.
Yeah.
And it's like a way to distract the kids too.
Yeah. So this is a very cute moment where Emma just shows up and surprises Justin because she and Jane had been colluding to cheer him up when he's been really, you know, obviously struggling with the fact that now he has three people to take care of.
Yeah. And so so Maddie is also there and kind of helps run interference with the youngest kid whose name I now forget.
Chelsea,
thank you. So that Emma and Justin can kind of have their little...
It's like a little side date.
Yeah, a little side date.
Yeah.
Like she's pushing the stroller so that they can hold hands. Like it's really cute.
This is when they get their first kiss finally.
Yes. It's very nice.
Kind of a slow burn because Justin is like, I gotta make this last.
Yeah, it's just like kind of a long peck.
Yeah, yeah.
And Emma's like, what the fuck? And Justin's like, haha.
You gotta
keep going out with me if you want more.
I don't know.
This slow burn, I was like, come on, just do it.
This one did not frustrate me as much as some other ones. It almost felt like there was so much other conflict going on that I was like, yeah, guys, take it slow.
No, it was like good frustration. It was it made sense to the plot of the book, but I just loved them together so much that I was like, come on, guys, just kiss. Just
bang.
Do it.
Yeah.
And then there's another date that they go on where they go on a walk wearing matching Toilet King t-shirts and Justin fake proposes to Emma because public proposals are hostage situations.
Yes, what had happened was while they're preparing for their, you know, while they're leaving for their next date walking around in their Toilet King t-shirts, Lee, who is like watching the kids, calls Justin and is like, I got news, buddy.
Kids have lice.
Kids.
So do you, probably.
Yeah. And Sarah, the the middle child is freaking out because she's super embarrassed because she's a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Chelsea is...
vibing.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Alex is like, well, okay, whatever. But the house is in chaos because they all have lice and you got to get rid of lice, obviously. Yeah. Have you ever had lice?
No.
I have.
But I had to do lice checks at summer camp all the time.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not fun. Don't recommend.
Yeah, I imagine it's not.
No. But anyway, so he fakes proposes to her to go de-louse his house.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know what? Sure.
Great.
Yeah.
Because she's a nurse, so it turns out she knows a thing or two.
Yeah, and she was neglected as a child.
Also that, yeah.
So she has been through this.
Yeah.
And she and Sarah have a really nice moment where Emma's like, you know, maybe I can help too. Where Sarah, who is a 12-year-old girl and everything feels enormous right now because her mom's in prison and she's 12. Emma also, you know, is the one to kind of comb out her hair and talk to her and is like, hey, you know, this isn't the worst thing in the world. You're going to be fine.
It's and then lets her dye her hair a fun color.
It is fun. She gets blue and purple hair out of it.
Yep. I love it.
It's cute.
And Justin's like, I don't fucking care what her hair looks like. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, do whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Her mom's in prison.
Yeah.
What's she going to do?
So then, I don't remember. It's not the same day. It's another occasion. I don't know. On a separate occasion, can't remember how separate, they're at the mansion, not in the mansion, at the mansion, playing zombies, like chasing each other around.
Yeah.
I don't remember the context for this.
Emma had claimed that she could outrun him as a zombie.
Oh, yeah.
And he was
so
like.
So he's pretending.
Yeah. He was like, no way, man. And turns out she can't because she went back for her phone.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway. But they start making out against the house. We think they're finally going to hook up. And then, no, they're not because Amber and Neil are in a fight.
Yep.
And this is when we start to see.
Is this when she's throwing his clothes out of the window? No, that's later.
She has run out of the house and is, like, throwing his medical award at his car.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So this is, like, the first. We've kind of only heard about Amber being awful and seeing, like, little bits of her being awful. Like, coming to the hospital to see Neil, but not actually, like, her daughter she hasn't seen in years.
Yeah.
Never trying to even, like, respond to Emma's calls or texts or anything like that. We get, like, little hints of her being awful. This is her in, like, a meltdown.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, this woman is not well.
Because Neil is working a lot because surgeon.
Yeah.
And Amber is convinced that he's, like, messing around on her.
Yes.
Which he's not. For all his faults.
For all his
faults.
He's not. He's not. He doesn't have time. That guy works a lot.
Yeah.
So Emma has to kind of take care of the situation. And is this when Maddie kind of explains to Justin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's basically like, you are, like, she's never going to become disentangled from her mom.
Yeah.
Like, this is just what we're dealing with. And you're never going to be able to get through to her. Like, she's damaged.
Yeah. And Maddie is kind of the only one who is really able to almost, like, get through to Emma at points. Or at least, like, certainly understands her best of, like, you know, there are rules that you have to deal with Emma of just the way that she handles this.
Yeah. And she doesn't accept help and she doesn't stick around and, like, she will leave. Because this is starting to get to the point where Justin's, like, wanting to ask her to stay after her few weeks. And Maddie's basically like, ain't gonna happen, my friend.
Emma then gets violently ill.
Yeah.
With norovirus.
She gets really sick.
And she's like stranded on the island because Maddie is out of town.
Right.
And she can't obviously drive the boat.
Right.
And at some point, somehow she gets a hold of Justin.
Yeah, because Justin is like calling her, but Emma's like really out of it
because
she's like dehydrated and stuff. And eventually she answers the phone and kind of mumbles to Justin that she needs, that she's sick or something.
Yeah. And at this point they were having a little bit of a tiff too, where I think Justin had asked her to stay and she was kind of like, I don't know. Like, no, probably not.
Yeah.
And Justin, they're, it's kind of like a point where they're at like a little crossroads.
Yeah. And they hadn't talked in a couple days or something to that effect.
Yeah. Like very minimal contact.
Yeah. But so Justin goes but realizes he can't get on the island because the boat is on the island side. So he gets a unicorn floaty out of Neil's pool and paddles it.
This fucking man.
This is insane.
This is insane. This
Which not- I don't know how big this lake is, but it's a lake.
It takes him over an hour to get there, apparently. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, would that work? I think he would have collapsed.
Maybe he's super, super fit.
He would have been, like, soaked, though, at that point.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, don't question it.
Whatever. But anyway.
Because it's raining, too, right? Or is it?
No, it's not raining.
It's a different time.
Yeah. It's not raining. It's a different time.
Yeah.
But at least.
Yeah. So he nurses Emma back to health, essentially. And she's kind of in and out of consciousness for, like, a day.
We get a Brianna and...
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. What's his name? Her husband. From yours truly. Jacob.
Jacob. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, Jacob.
Right? They show up and give her an IV.
And that's also when me, a moron, realized, oh, that's who Neil is. Because Brianna's like, he used to date my best friend. He's an asshole.
Yes, that was when I realized
and
it too.
I was like, oh, whoops.
Abby's like, here, for you idiots who haven't picked up on it yet.
Yeah.
I'll just say it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Abby. We're dumb.
Yeah.
So yeah, Justin just sticks around for a few days. Lee is watching the kids.
He gets norovirus.
Not as bad as Emma did, but still bad. So they're basically just playing house, but like sick house for like 4 days. But once they're feeling better, they finally do it.
They finally do it.
Thank God.
It took a while.
Yeah.
I didn't mark down the percent. I forgot.
I didn't either. But then she's like, okay, I will stick around a little longer.
Yeah, Maddie comes home at, like, while they're laying in bed.
Okay, afterwards. It's at like 70%.
Okay, so the kiss probably would have been
73%.
Okay.
Because I wrote top 5 sweetest sex scenes for sure.
Yes, it was very sweet.
Was my note.
This like is when she like decides, oh yeah, maybe we should stay.
Yeah, she not permanently, but a little bit longer.
Yeah, Maddie is like cheering her on through this too, but like gently to not scare her off.
Yeah.
And so we get a little bit of like a flash forward where they've left the lake house or the island or whatever because they have extended their contract to stay in Minnesota a little while longer. Maddie, again, all the great friends in this book.
Truly.
Excellent friends in this book. Emma is mostly staying with Justin, but like secretly, except they're not slick.
Right, because she's like trying to leave before the kids know that she's there.
Yeah.
And then Sarah, I guess, is like, I know that you're staying over.
Yeah. Like, stupid. Maddie is living in the Toilet King apartment.
Yeah.
Because Justin still had a few more months on the lease.
Yeah, she's like sleeping on an air mattress on the floor of the Toilet King apartment.
Yeah. You know what?
Fine.
Free apartment.
Free apartment.
Free apartment. And yeah, Emma's staying with Justin most of the time.
Yeah.
So it gets to her birthday and Justin makes her a birthday breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cute. Maddie was going to come meet her for lunch. And through some way or another, she had gotten her DNA test results back.
Yes. Yeah.
And she hasn't looked at them yet. Because I guess the way, and I've never done this, like 23andMe Ancestry or whatever, you have to like make your profile public to find matches.
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay.
I did the Ancestry one.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Did you learn anything weird?
Nothing weird, but that's how I found that guy when I was at the Statesman. He, like, Facebook messaged me out of the blue and was like, I'm your, like, third cousin and I'm in touch with our relatives in Czechoslovakia.
Oh, yeah.
And so now I'm on their email list.
That is cool.
Which is very nice.
Nice.
Well. They live in the same house that my four greats. I don't know. The guy who immigrated here. It's the house that he built outside
of Prague. Cool.
And they live in it.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. And I get little, like, I don't know, every other month dispatches from them that my cousin Fred passes along to the rest of us.
Thanks, Fred.
In the States. Yeah.
I love that.
So, and I found him because of Ancestry family tree stuff.
Okay. That's
I don't know if it was because of DNA, but it was because of Ancestry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's much cooler than what happens here.
Yeah.
So.
Although my jaw was on the fucking floor.
I am also still an idiot because, okay, so.
Yeah, we are stupid.
We biggest reveal of reveals. As Emma logs on to Ancestry, or whichever one she did, with Maddie and Justin, she says, oh, I have a match. And it says Amber Grant is her mother. And she's like, oh, okay, I guess my mom put my information or her information in. Weird. And then she sees she has a brother named Daniel Grant. And it still doesn't click for me.
Wait,
here.
Really?
No! I'm an idiot! Daniel Grant is part of your world, man!
Yes.
I got it a page later when he was like, my wife's gonna be there too. And then I went, what? Mm-hmm. Like, legit, like, my, like, I don't know if I've legitimately been that shocked by a book in a long time.
I know. That's why when I was texting you, I was like, my jaw has literally dropped twice. And it was Justin's mom going to prison.
Yeah.
Because that was so out of left field. And then it was this.
Yes. I was just like, I was like, I feel so stupid right now. And then also, holy fucking shit. So they... This is another point where Daniel messages back too fast. And I'm yes. like, this is not realistic.
Yeah, because this message came from like 23andMe or whatever. I know he's not checking those notifications all the time. Like, come on.
Yeah. And
you got things to do.
He's running his bed and breakfast or whatever. But he's like, Emma, call me. And so she does. And she's like, oh my gosh, did you know Amber was your mom? And... he was like, yes, I was raised by my grandparents. And Emma's like, what? And because Amber has told her this entire time that she's like an only child. She has no family, like no grandparents, no aunts or uncles. And she's like, oh, my gosh, are there more of you? And Daniel's like, yeah, we have a huge family. And Emma and Justin and Maddie just like immediately go over there.
Meanwhile, her mom is losing her shit.
The day before Emma's birthday, Maria calls and is like, you got to get your crazy mother out of here or I'm calling the police. So Emma goes over there and Amber is like throwing clothes out of the window like that scene in Blank Space, the music video, but like not as fun because this is a woman
having an actual breakdown.
Yes, having a mental breakdown. And so Maddie, Justin, and Emma all just like clean up her mess again. Just kind of like, I think just like put her into bed.
Yeah, I think Emma like puts her in the shower or something.
Yeah. And that's again when like Maddie and Justin have a conversation of Maddie being like, you cannot let Emma leave. Mm-hmm. Like that's the biggest thing is like if she leaves,
she won't come back.
Yeah, exactly. That's what. And then Maddie is like, I will see you for your birthday lunch tomorrow. Now make that fast forward noise. Here we are. Now we're at Daniel's house.
Yes.
Okay. So, clothes, birthday breakfast, Maddie comes over for birthday lunch, DNA test, they go to Daniel's house.
Yes.
And as they're at Daniel's house, Daniel is, like, showing them pictures and, like, talking about it. And Emma sees a picture from, like, 4th of July when she was 8 years old, when she was literally starving in
the house.
Yeah,
the summer with the carrots.
Yep. And she has a panic attack and runs out.
Yeah, because she finds out that the summer that her mom abandoned her, she was just with her other family, basically.
Yeah. And, like, Emma had asked Daniel, like, oh, well, did you see her? And he was like, well, yeah, she would drop by every few months or whatever. And so it was, like, a lot of times when she was abandoning Emma, she was just with her parents and her other son.
Yeah. So she bolts and then goes to confront her mom.
Yes.
And holds her own. Thank God.
I know.
Finally.
I know.
Finally, she stands up for herself. And basically, she, like, her kind of inner monologue is like, this is the last time I'm ever going to speak to my mother.
Yeah.
And so she, like, just lets it all go.
And Amber is like, Emma goes upstairs and is like, I met Daniel today. And her mom just, like, doesn't react.
Yeah.
She's like, please, I have a headache. Neil and I are fighting, yada, yada, yada. And... yeah, that's when Emma has that moment of like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. I'm done.
Yeah. So she just kind of tells her off and then is like, bye.
Yeah. And Maddie and Justin are like waiting in the car, which maybe was not very smart on their part.
Yeah. Keep eyes on her at all times.
Yeah.
But instead, she gets in an Uber and just disappears.
And that is when Amber sets the house on fire.
Yeah.
Neil had come home and she threw a candle at his head.
Yep.
And instead set the house on fire.
And Neil, to his credit, is just like,
this was my comeuppance.
Yeah, exactly. I deserved this. Now I'm like even with the universe.
Yeah. He's like, at one point was like, she was an angel from God, man.
Yeah.
To Justin. And he was like, the fuck are you talking
Whatever
about?
Whatever you say, man.
Sure. I'm not dealing with this anymore. And they can't find Emma. And Maddie, being a genius, had put air tags in her luggage.
Yeah.
Maddie tells Emma at one point, I knew you would leave me at some point, but you would never leave your luggage.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, damn.
God, I know.
Yeah.
So Maddie finds her at a hotel by the airport because she has a flight out the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of, I mean, they just have a little kind of come to Jesus. But to my surprise, in this moment at least, Emma still goes and dumps Justin.
Yes. I did think she would just like run.
Yeah, me too.
So,
that they were just going to make up here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, not like immediately, but that not what came next, at least. Mm,
yeah. So Maddie is like, I'll take you to dump Justin, mm-hmm. basically, but I get to pick where we go next.
Yeah.
And she takes her to Daniel's house.
Yeah. And they just stay there for 6 months.
So you get a 6 month time jump and Justin is still pining for Emma. When Emma breaks up with him, she's basically like, I gotta work on myself.
Yeah.
And you don't deserve this. Or at least that's what she's thinking. When we have our little time jump forward of 6 months, Emma is doing a lot better. She's like in some pretty intense therapy, for one.
Yeah, like EMDR shit.
I know. And like I was like, damn.
The heavy shit.
Yeah, real heavy shit. Maddie is
dating Doug.
I know. This was really cute.
You know, there's someone for everyone.
There's someone for everyone. This was so cute. I was very happy with that. And Emma finally decides that she's in a better enough place that she's going to go see Justin. Because she's like, all right, I'm a better person now.
Yeah. And hopefully he'll take me back or at least hear me out.
Yeah. And so as she's driving back to Minneapolis, who calls her? But Sarah.
Bless her heart. Sarah's gotten her period at school.
Oh my God.
And doesn't want to call Justin.
Yeah.
And probably doesn't want to call Lee just because it's another like mom figure.
Yeah.
And Emma's like cool older sis vibes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Sarah says at one point, I didn't want to call Lee because she would throw me a period party.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Lee is great.
Yeah.
Lee is kooky as hell. I love her.
I love her. And so Sarah's like, can you come pick me up from school? And Emma's like, yeah, I'll be there in 30 minutes. So Emma picks Sarah up, takes her home, takes care of all of her stuff.
Takes her to Culver's. I had a dream last night. I went to Culver's after reading this book.
Fuck, I went Culver's.
I could go for some custard right now. Anyway.
I'm thinking real hard about the chocolate cone right now.
Fuck.
You just saw me like fully stare out the window.
Yep.
And then Sarah's like, how about you like sit on the couch and I'll go get Justin.
Yeah.
Because maybe y'all should have a conversation.
Yes. Sarah, you know, a lot of good wing people in this book.
Exactly. And then they, like, Justin's like, what the fuck initially, because he's kind of decided, like, she hurt me.
She left.
I don't care what she says. Like, yeah. I'm over it. And then Emma's basically like, here are all the ways that I've changed in the last 6 months. And then Justin is like, okay, fine.
And then they're back together.
And there is this section of the book that I was sobbing. The context of this. I think it's when Justin is, like, suspicious of Emma.
Mm.
And his, like, monologue is, like, and it's long. So here we go. The love story sold us the wrong thing. The best kind of love doesn't happen on moonlit walks and romantic vacations. It happens in between the folds of everyday life. It's not grand gestures that show how you feel. It's all the little secret things you do to make her life better that you never tell her about. Taking the end piece of the bread at breakfast so she can have the last middle piece for her sandwich when you pack her lunch. Making sure her car always has gas so she never has to stop at the pump. Telling her you're not cold and to take her jacket when you are in fact very, very cold. It's watching TV on a rainy Sunday while you're doing laundry and turning her light off when she's fallen asleep reading. Sharing pizza crusts and laughing about something the kids did and taking care of each other when you're sick. It isn't glamorous. It isn't all butterflies and stars in your eyes. It's real. This is the kind of love that forever is made of. Because if it's this good when life is draining and mundane and hard, think of how wonderful it will be when the love songs are playing and the moon is out.
I highlighted that giant section also.
And I was just like, sob.
This was really nice for me to read right now. Yes. Especially.
Yeah.
Again, this comes out after I have been married, but we're recording
pre-wedding.
Pre-wedding. Where it does, and like I said the same thing when we were reading Mrs. Nash's Ashes, you know, 8 months ago or whatever, which is crazy to think about now, but
yeah,
you know, it feels so big sometimes that you forget. No, it's just the everyday.
Well, and especially reading these books too, like you get so swept up in the big silly stuff, the, you know, Toilet King billboards and, you know, playing zombies or whatever, like the stuff that's like not really real. And then there's this acknowledgement that's like, it kind of brings you back to earth a little bit. Yeah, so then they're together.
2 years later, he's proposing to her and he posts another Reddit post.
Yep.
Because he proposed to her via a Toilet King billboard.
Yes, which is very funny and very, very full circle.
Yes. So,
yes, I adored it, but we all knew that it was going to be good.
Yeah.
So you want to see Abby do something else?
I want her to see, and, you know, she's a pro at this, so, like, who am I to say anything? I want her to see, I want to see her break out of her formula just a little bit.
Because
she is very much in a formula of where we have this, like, very intense romance, and then we have an extremely intense breakup, and then we have a time gap, and then they get back together.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I would love to maybe see a romance from her where we don't have that, like, ultra devastating breakup. I've gotten to the point where it's like, okay, so they're gonna not talk for like a year.
Yeah.
And I've said before, is like, man, I just be too nosy for that.
Yeah, but you know what, like, is it more realistic though that way?
Probably. I think maybe what I would like to see from her, and, like, you know, again, who am I to say, I'm no expert, I'm no Abby Jimenez, is I would love to see a romance where maybe we just, like, never have that breakup. That big conflict that they're dealing with is something that is, like, outside of their control. And this is just them, like, working through it together almost.
Yeah, it would have been, like, don't get me wrong, I think these two probably should have taken some time apart. So maybe this book is not the best example.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a situation where it's, like, you've got some heavy stuff going on, I've got some heavy stuff going on, perhaps it would be better if we helped each other through it and had support.
Yes. So, again, I will read every single thing she writes.
Yeah.
I think I have just, like, it is very much a formula for her of a very, very devastating breakup.
Yeah, that's true.
She does exceptionally well, so...
Anyway, I do wonder if Abby is going to move on from this series or not. Because this is...
5? 6? 5, 6. Part of your world is 4.
Yeah. But are those three in the same...
Mm-hmm. They get kind of more... It gets between Life's Too Short and...
Part of Your World.
Part of Your World. It gets a little tangential.
It's been so long since I read those first three that I have forgotten. Because this is, like, one of the longest extended universes I feel like I've read.
I know, and I'm just like, shit, how many more people are there?
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'd follow her into the sun. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. this is great.
Yeah, like, did we ever think we weren't going to like this? No.
And, man, ugh. Maybe didn't, well, you know, hit me in different ways than some of her other books, for sure. And I feel for everybody who is reading this and struggling with it, too.
So, yeah.
Big old content warning.
Yep. What are you reading right now, knowing that by the time this comes out, this will probably not be what we are actually reading? What might you be reading soon?
What might I be reading? About? Yes. I finally need to read True Love Experiment because I miss our girls, Christina Lauren. It's been a hot minute and I know you really loved it. And so.
I think it was my favorite behind the Unhoneymooners.
Ooh. Okay. That's exciting because I just have so many, like, nice, cozy memories of reading all those books.
Yeah.
And I miss her. So what are you... hypothetically, maybe, probably, sort of maybe reading.
Well, I will be done with this by the time that it comes out, but it is an audiobook, so I go slower with it. So yeah. Maybe I won't be.
Maybe.
I'm reading this book called Would You Rather by Allison Ashley. Allison Ashley is a new-to-me author. It is a marriage of convenience one, which I haven't done in a long time, and it's a friends to lovers. So these two are like BFFs, co-workers. Excellent. I'm enjoying it.
All right.
So we will see y'all the next time we are in real time. Anyway, we'll see y'all next time.
Bye.